request for an emergency amendment pertaining to the commercial cobia season. Mr. Jorley.
Good afternoon. Name is Ryan Jorley, and I'd like to think, I'm pretty sure I haven't come up here in front of the commission without referencing recreational cobia, and so I'd like to keep that streak alive just for a few brief moments as an update. We did do an emergency closure for commercial cobia last year, but we also happen to be talking about recreational reporting regs. So just a quick update on that. Because the season finished up and because it's something that is looming over our heads, assessing the first year of real mandatory recreational reporting for cobia, I thought that it would be best to provide just a quick update. Willing to answer questions, but just wanted to be brief before I moved on to the commercial side of things. Did a data upload or download through September 24th, which is through this past weekend, and we do have about 49% of the 6,500 cobia permittees have provided at least a report of taking a trip or have reported no activity. And if the commission will recall, the stipulation was added that if you take a trip that results in a catching, whether harvest or release of a cobia, that trip needs to be reported within 7 days. And we have about 67, 68% of the trips that did result in positive catch. About 68% of those trips were reported within the 7 day window. Many were reported after. And so that is about 3,000 trips, if I remember correctly. Over 4,000 trips total, and I think about 2,000 of them were this type of trip. And so that corresponds to 1,243 permittees. And so that, I think, is just important to keep in mind as we assess that reporting frequency, whether or not that's where we want to be. And because that kind of begs the question of compliance, I think it's important to put on the record a more thorough discussion of what we mean by compliance, because in the recreational reporting system that we've set up, there are actually multiple types of noncompliance. The first and most obvious example is someone who's fishing for cobia recreationally without having obtained the free permit. That's something that's a little bit difficult to address, as are all these, but I'll go through the three of them first. The second type is just people who have the permit and either don't report at all, you know, or they report no activity. So we're kind of being misled there. And then the last is the people who get a permit are fully in compliance in the sense that they've provided a report to the commission, but they're not providing 100% of the trips they took, or maybe they're not reporting all of the fish they've taken, or perhaps released. And so the few ways we have to address this are looking and working with law enforcement to see if so-and-so was stopped by officer whatever on July 19th and there were two cobia in the cooler at the end of the season, do we have a report from that angler saying that they kept two fish? That's one option we have for kind of validating or checking to see whether or not our reporting rate is really an honest one. And then a couple sort of indirect methods to estimate whether or not people are reporting all their fish are other recreational programs that the VMRC has, such as the volunteer tagging program and the Marine Sport Fish Collection Project, which is the carcass donation program. So, and also the citation, Virginia Saltwater Fishing Tournament. So people have to file pretty extensive reports if they tag a fish, or if they want to get a citation for large cobia they've caught. So it would be interesting to see. It will be interesting to see if all the citations and of all the fish that were tagged and reported to the VMRC are recaptured. Do we see those come to us also in the form of the mandatory reports that we filed? So we can't just look at, you know, this number of fish that have been reported as killed and say that's the number of fish we've killed. We know that there's stuff that goes unreported, and things like law enforcement and other recreational fishing data sets will help us inform what is our real compliance replate, and it'll allow us to expand up a little bit. If there are any questions on that, I'll gladly take them now, but we'll be giving a much more thorough presentation on it probably next month.
Any questions from the commission?
Yeah, just like a comment, and this is, I don't have an answer for this, but like, if I'm fishing on my boat, I reported my cobia, and so did a lot of releases. But when I'm fishing on Charles's boat, and I caught a citation cobia, I fill out the citation form, and Charles reported the cobia. Mm-hmm. But there's no way of you looking at that citation form and seeing me with a citation cobia, and you'll see that I didn't file a report for that day. And so it can give you guidelines, but...
Yeah, and even, I mean, you've probably cited an even more specific instance, or maybe it's a more common instance, but we already have reservations about the citation program in the sense that a passenger on board, generally the captain is going to be the witness right. on the signature, and so we can link it up that way, but are we going to know that you were fishing with, you know, Charles South on and go to your permit and say, okay, well, he didn't report, but he did report. And so that's all something that we have the entire winter to hole up in our offices and think over. And that's likely what we will do. And so
you will have other things as well.
I suppose the number of times I come up here for cobia sometimes gives me a false impression of that may be the only thing that I do.
And there are a variety of tournaments that you could look at, you know, and hopefully most of them, like the ODU just had it, you know, they have their tournament, which I think was a big success. And,
sure.
And they should be willing to provide their data since y'all do work with ODU with your sports collection project, of course, our tournament. And but yeah, we need to have as good a compliance with this as we absolutely can.
Sure. And even something that you have to be even more cautious about, but there has actually been research on it, is using fishing forums, using Facebook pages and blogs. How sure can you be that the report was from the day that it's posted and things like that? But so there are a lot of toys in the toy box. It's just a matter of, are they relevant?
So can you back up a slide, please?
Sure. Two slides.
There you go. 48.91% of permittees have provided at least one report.
And there are 5 days left before.
So I don't expect a flood of reports over the next 5 days, but it is possible. So as it stands now here, for not filing the report, to document their catch or your non-catch makes you ineligible to participate in the fishery next year.
Wow.
So there were about 3,000 permits.
Total?
Yes.
6,500.
6,500 permits.
For cobia.
So, and that would mean more than 3,200 people that receive permits haven't filed a report of a catch or non-catch, and therefore would be, under the regulation, excluded from this fishery next year.
And it's been publicized in the newspapers, online. Yes, sir.
Let me express in public my anxiety and the level of consternation that will be invoked by anglers next spring who cannot receive a permit under this. And I can anticipate some actions and reactions on their part. Just wanted to bring it all to your attention.
Move along to the commercial cobia fishery, please.
So, yes, the stated agenda item is the fact that the National Marine Fisheries Service has already closed federal waters from commercial cobia harvest. Basically, the National Marine Fisheries Service has given two potential scenarios for a closure. If they discover that the annual catch limit of 50,000 pounds for Georgia through New York has been exceeded, if they have the landings that say it's been exceeded, obviously they're going to close the season. They also have the authority to close the season preemptively. I put that in scare quotes. Preemptively close the season if the landings are projected to be exceeding the ACL. And the reason I put that in scare quotes is because everybody knows that there's a delay in landings, whether it's recreational, even commercial. And so this year was an instance where the NOAA fisheries projected that they would meet it by September 5th and close federal waters on September 5th. And you know, not that there is a letter directing VMRC to close state waters. It's a matter of, do we want to close state waters and prevent any further harvest in a fishery that has gone over its limit the past couple of years? It was not believed to have gone over in 2016, even though there was a December closure. If you look on the second page of the evaluation, though, there are a few years that it has been exceeded. So really, it comes down to trying to characterize Virginia's commercial cobia fishery. This number that you see for commercial cobia landings this year is by all means a low estimate. Our state harvester reporting is updated through July, and there could still be delinquent reports from June or July, but the fact is we don't have August reports in, and so we have about 18,000 reported by private by harvester, and then there are a few more, I'd say 3,000 pounds reported to federal dealers that we can get from ACCSP, which is housed under the ASMFC. So that federally reported data is up through September 16th. We've had landings, and so we were able to add the August numbers from federally reported dealers and the state level stuff up through July to get this number. But the point is, we've been over that number, 21,000 pounds. Last year, we were at 33,000 pounds as a state, and in 2015, we were at 27,000. 2014, we were at 23,000 pounds. And so the question is, what do we expect that harvest in August actually was? How far will we be over? This is a fishery where we've gone over multiple times and never really suffered. The only closures that have been posed by the feds on the commercial cobia fishery have been in December, when really no state is having a big fishery. But the fact is, there probably is sufficient evidence to believe that there will be an overage this year, and that the National Marine Fisheries Service was correct in closing it early. North Carolina, I put them up there because between Virginia and North Carolina, that's essentially 100% of the commercial fishery. South Carolina, it's a game fish status, so there's no commercial fishing, although their charter captains, I believe, can sell. It's a strange situation, but these are the two states that are the big players for commercial cobia. North Carolina, the reports are that it's lower than usual, but they average about 40,000 pounds a year. So when you take our numbers and their numbers and you say we have 50,000 pounds to play with, it's probably that we've exceeded that. And so we don't really have much commercial harvest in September, October, November, December. It has happened. It's been sporadic, and it's usually small, nothing more than a couple hundred pounds. But it's a migratory fish, and depending on environmental conditions, they stay and move, you know, according to factors that we don't fully understand. And so for that reason, staff is recommending that the commission adopt amendments to Chapter 4 VAC 20-510-10 pertaining to amberjack and cobia to establish a closure of the commercial cobia fishery. And staff also recommends that the commission hold a public hearing at its October 2017 meeting. And the changes that I'm referring to, I just put down here, this is really the only change. It's in Section 25 of the regulation, just changing the title to say commercial fishery possession limits and season closure, and just adding letter B, you know, after the possession limit language to say in 2017 it shall be unlawful for any person fishing commercially to harvest or possess any cobia after September 26th, which is today's date. And if there are any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the commission? Mr. Neal?
Just a date thing. Are we able to publicize, if we do it as of today, are we able to tell our there's not a whole lot going on, but there's still some cobia around. And so, like,
I've received phone calls about guys asking if the commercial season is still open, and I actually have to call a gentleman back when I leave this room to let him know what happens today.
So that's my question. So what if someone catches some cobia tomorrow? I mean, are we able to get this out to our watermen in this short a time? So I'm asking, would an October 1 be more? How instantaneous can you communicate to the commercial watermen?
It's probably a difficult question to answer.
Either way, we're going to follow the same route. You don't have to go very far. Facebook, post it on the web, whether it's 26th or October 1st. And typically, when you think about it, the commission's going to have a couple more emergencies today. The state of the agency is that those are our avenues for letting people know. Of course, we get lots of phone calls. So it's no different than any other time when we've had an emergency regulation. And these days, the stakeholders are pretty much in tune with what's going on one way or another. So, I mean, it's your call as far as whether you want to go the first.
I'd feel bad giving a guy a ticket tomorrow.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, if you want to make it October 1st, I think under this particular circumstances, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah, I think the fact is federal waters have been closed since the 5th, and this is just an attempt to be in alignment with federal waters rules, and so we're already a few weeks late due to the timing of our meeting. So a couple more days may just mean a couple trips. You know, it may not even be that many pounds of fish. It may be zero. So,
well, are there any questions or discussions? If not, the staff recommendation is September 26th as the closure date, but that's adjustable by the commission here. So what's your preference, gentlemen and ladies?
I'll move to approve a closure date of September 26th.
Well, that's a motion here to accept staff recommendation here to close the commercial cobia fishery today. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Is there a discussion on the motion?
I'm looking at Wayne France. He's our one commercial waterman up here. I'm looking down there to see what he's doing.
I'm telling you that, that's giving you a tight, that's right tight. Now, I would certainly go for October 1st, to give the guys not a week to catch cobia, but a week to get the message out.
Yeah.
Mr. Baylor.
Can I ask a question of staff? I can't believe I don't know this, but who are the commercial cobia fishermen? Are they individuals? Are they large companies that are catching this?
Mostly individuals. For example, last year we had 33,000 pounds, 26,000 pounds of those were hook and line. Gentlemen going out on their own vessel, maybe taking a couple guys with them. But it would primarily be, if we posted on Facebook, you'd probably reach a good number of them. We have a large number of harvesters in the past 2 years are also charter captains. So there's definitely a good portion of them who are tech savvy, checking Facebook, but you would have to rely on word of mouth for the rest of it, as there are people who
I can name most of them by off the top of my head, and I fish with them, and he's right, word of mouth would go very, very fast, but I just don't know if it would be out by tomorrow. Actually, for most of them, it probably would, but I just,
sure.
This is not a big deal one way or the other. I would just feel bad for the guy that got a ticket tomorrow that hadn't heard yet. I don't know what the weather is going to be tomorrow. Might not be any guys tomorrow.
Mr. Tankard?
Can I amend my motion for October 1?
Yeah, I'll let you do that. Of course you can. It's your motion.
I move to amend my motion for a closure date of October 1.
Second.
As the motion to close the commercial cobia fishery, amended motion October 1 by Mr. Tankard and the second by Mr. Ballard. Mrs. Effort.
And you said that's probably not going to amount to much landings, but would there potentially be a run that people think, oh, we've got a short window, we're going to go out and try to find them? Or
It's tough to say. I don't even know that this item is on everyone's radar. You know, like I said, a lot of guys are also some of these guys are also recreational anglers. And so they've called and said, recreational is closed, right? And I say, yeah. They say, how about commercial? So I don't know that, and I hate to make any promises, but I don't think they're all waiting on this decision to see how much longer they have to fish. You know, there are, Commissioner Neal would be in a much better position to answer this, but I'm pretty sure there are still some cobia left in the bay, but not in the numbers where you'd expect a big bonanza of landings.
Right.
Yeah, we're quibbling, and I'm sorry because I'm part of the quibblers, because we are quibbling. Yeah. Mother Nature's taking care of it for us.
Yeah, I would say that's the case.
There's a motion and a second here to close the commercial cobia fishery October 1st. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Before you leave cobia, Ryan mentioned it, but I'm not sure it hit home. Next month, we will have a report coming from staff on the feasibility of continuing the reporting schedules that we've adopted for trophy striped bass, tilefish, as well as cobia. And we've already started discussions at the staff level, and I just don't want you to be surprised next month. And it may take a little longer, but we'll definitely have some pretty good information for you next month as to the proverbial path forward, because we certainly need one. I'll just give you one example. With the number of permittees who don't report, you can imagine what that's like when they start calling staff. And you can also imagine what would happen when they can't get a permit, what those calls are like. So, to give you just one more example, mandatory reporting for the commercial fishery has been around since 1993. Took many years to get that to a position where all the trends were reasonable, but that doesn't mean that staff hasn't had to spend a lot of time with harvesters, commercial harvesters, getting things the way they should be. It took years and years to do that. Now you're talking about the difference between, say, 2,800 commercial fisherman registration licensees, and let's just say 350,000 anglers. Of that, some are in the striped bass trophy fishery. What you heard today, 6,500 permits in the cobia recreational fishery. It's really amazing, and, you know, again, next month, please be ready, because we're going to have some recommendations and probably some suggestions as we go forward. We all want what you want. We all want the same thing. But getting there may be a little patience testing. So just want to let you know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
I have a quick little comment.
Mr. Neal.
Which I'm doing a lot of that lately, sorry. The National Marine Fisheries Service is, you probably don't have the authority, but we ought to. They've taken to enforcing some regulations just over the internet. You know, and they're seeing billfish being taken out of the water, posted on Facebook, and they're mailing tickets. And so it would be lovely if this agency had the authority to send a ticket to people who fail to report. Just a $25 little ticket to everyone who didn't report their harvest would take care of that problem in a heartbeat. And it would help this agency's coffers. In fact, it should be done. That should be something that this agency has the ability to do.
I appreciate the sentiment.
Is anyone in Richmond here listening?
Thank you, Captain.